Thank you so much, Pastor. I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to come back here and be able to give a report. It's biblical. As we see the pattern of missions with Paul in Acts chapter 13, and then when he was sent out by the church, and then Acts 14, he came back to the church and gave a report of what God is doing. It's been a blessing to be able to fellowship with your pastor this afternoon and to be able to be well-fed and to be able to just enjoy getting to know his family once again. This church has been supporting us to be able to plant churches in Peru since our deputation. We came back in 2014 and gave an update, and then now this year another update. Just before we show the video, let me just go ahead and so you can be able to see our family firsthand. This is my wife and twin girls, if they would stand. My wife, Nisha. We've been married 23 years, and our twin girls, Rebecca, is next to my wife, and then Katie and Red. And then we have our two boys that are now college age, and they are studying now in the States and not traveling around with us. But what a blessing it is to be able to have a family serving together there in Peru. Not just serving together with my family, but with you. I hope that you realize that when you pray for us, when you give, and when you partner with us, we're co-laboring in taking the gospel and starting churches there in Peru. I hope that you feel a part of that. One of the questions your pastor was asking is, well, how is it we can be an encouragement? And I said, well, really, one of the encouraging things is that we just get to know our churches, they get to know us, and we feel like we're a part of each other's ministries. That's one of the reasons why I like coming back. Get a chance to be able to meet new people in the church, to be able to see Yucca Valley growing, this area growing, just to be able to see what God is doing in the home, but then also to be able to show what God is doing there in Peru. And to God be the glory, great things he has done. I am just amazed with the things that he's doing in Peru. Just to give you a quick update before I show this video. Our first 4 years, so our first year was learning the language, learning the culture, and that was one of the hardest years we had going there. Having a big heart, wanting to be able to just jump in and start churches and evangelize and share the gospel, but not being able to communicate. That was difficult. But, you know, we had Peruvian pastors that taught us the language, put us through a curriculum, and just really nurtured us and trained us and prepared us in that way. That was working at a deaf ministry there in the capital city. The video here is only going to show just a couple pictures of that, of working with the deaf orphanage, the deaf children, learning sign language, and just being able to get our paperwork done and getting all of those things done before we went more into the mountain jungle areas to be able to start churches. Now, if you were able to go by our table display in the back there, you were able to see a map on that display that showed three different shades of colors, and that explains that there is desert, mountains and jungle, and so the city along the coast there, the capital city of Lima, that's where we were able to get all of that paperwork done that first year. We then went into the mountains with 10 missionaries. My wife and I were two of the 10, and we blitzed an area at a valley to be able to start a church all the way from the very beginning. And this was Abundant Life Baptist Church, and the Bible says that God is the one that gives the increase. God's the one that brings people along, and it was amazing to be able to see these people prepared, ready to be able to receive the gospel and to be able to be saved and baptized and to be able to see a church formed. What a blessing it was. That was done there the 3 years. That church grew, and it is now running over 200 people. It has a Christian school of over 200 students, and it was just exciting. One of the missionaries decided to be able to accept the position as the pastor there, stay there permanently, and so that gave us the opportunity to be able to go start another church. That's when we came back in 2014 and gave a report. We gave a report in this church explaining about Abundant Life Baptist Church. So this video is only going to show very briefly those first two ministries that we were at in our first term. Our second term is what this video is about. This video is going to be able to show you when we went back to be able to help in establishing two new churches. and how exciting it is. So we're going to go ahead and show this video. And then right after this video, I'm just going to explain a little bit more, maybe take a question and answer if we have a chance there before we look at God's Word. So let's go ahead and play this video. It's about 9 minutes long, and this will be able to explain just, again, briefly at the beginning, the first term, first 4 years, and then it goes into more of these last 4 years we've been in Peru.
We are the John Harris family, church planting missionaries sent from Faithway Baptist Church in Ypsilanti, Michigan, to Peru, South America, with the assistance of Baptist International Missions Incorporated. Peru has over 32 million souls. The country is relatively Catholic, but are spiritually blind to the truth of the gospel. Peru is divided into three regions, from the modern urban desert coastland to the high altitude of the Andes Mountains and the Amazon rainforest. There is a need to plant churches and spread the gospel in Peru. In January of 2011, God allowed us to begin ministering in Peru. We began our first year assisting in a ministry for the deaf. We received private tutors to teach us the Spanish language and customs and process our paperwork to obtain religious visas. Our first term allowed us to be a part of a missionary team in the Andes Mountains that established Abundant Life Baptist Church in Andahuaylas. Our second term started on the coast of Peru for 7 months, with assisting Orib Baptist Church in Los Olivos, attempting to start another church in a new area, but was without a permanent leader at the time. The church now has a pastor and is working on a building program on their own property. We also assisted the mother church by strengthening their youth program and ministering together by taking trips to the jungle to teach in a pastor's conference. We preached in villages up and down the Amazon River, some with the church and others without a church. What a blessing to take the gospel to the children, along with Bible literature, and to hear from others who desire to start a church in their areas, like this elderly lady. We were able to preach and direct activities in summer camps along the coast for churches before moving to Huancayo in the Andes Mountains to start our next church. The first year was a lot of evangelism in the streets, in front of universities, in the markets, and from house to house. We teamed up with a Peruvian missionary in Huancayo to start Potter's Baptist Church. We were able to use a private school building to have Bible studies for services, but needed to transport our materials back and forth for each meeting. We began a discipleship program in the homes to teach them God's Word. What a blessing to see God working in their hearts and their willingness to obey God, whether it was to be married, get baptized, or seek forgiveness. What a blessing to see their willingness to obey. Relationships were built as our family ministered together in establishing the church, like Edward and Jessica, were saved, baptized, discipled, and are now active members of the church.
What a joy to have been able to disciple many ladies like Nancy, Katie, Patty, Diana, and others who have become faithful members of the church and are serving God, to teach and help mature the children in Sunday school. I have also been able to use our home to not only homeschool our children, but teach the ladies how to cook and maintain a godly home, especially for mothers with young children. Our children are actively assisting in the church by song leading, ushering, teaching, Bible studies, evangelizing, and serving in many other areas. I'm so thankful to God for a family that ministers together with servants' hearts.
It is a blessing to have religious freedom and Peru to evangelize in the streets, the markets, the schools, the jails, the orphanages, the hospitals, and to see those who have come to know Christ as their Savior from these outreaches. We established a constitution for the church and began with 18 church members in our opening membership at Potter's Baptist Church. As the church grew, we were able to begin other programs to reach out to the community, like Vacation Bible School, where over 100 children came to the church, enjoyed the events, and heard the scriptures, and spiritual decisions were made. Churches had missions conferences where we invited missionaries and emphasized the need of being a missions-minded church of reaching the world. to share the needs and understand our own part of obeying the Great Commission. The church was able to invite others to celebrate with us of what God was building and molding as the potter. We would recognize the anniversary of the church, the independence of Peru, offer picnics, retreats, and conferences throughout the year, and use these to build relationships with the community. One of the favorite times was when the church went together to family camp and returned more united and motivated to strengthen the church. What a blessing to see how the church has grown. And now, after 3 years, has 30 members and 70 attending. The church now is in its own building to rent and offers programs to strengthen the men, the ladies, the youth, and the children. Those of you who have prayed and have given to missions can look into the faces who have been given the gospel and ministered to and share with us the joy of what God has done in giving them a renewed hope. We praise the Lord for the many opportunities to travel into the different regions of Peru and to have the privilege to minister in summer camps, preaching in churches, missions trips, and visiting other areas in need of gospel preaching churches. We have traveled through the Andes Mountains and the Amazon jungle and have witnessed firsthand the needs of reaching the Peruvians with the gospel and further establishing churches.
The opportunity to be able to preach in many of the churches as I traveled through the Amazon and into the Andes Mountains. As the pastor shared their visions and burdens of reaching villages that do not have a church, to get into some of these villages and to see the kids and to be able to see those that need to be able to be told who Jesus is.
We have shared with Potter's Baptist Church that upon our return to Peru for our third term, that we will be going to another region to start a new church and have turned over all responsibilities for the church to Samuel Vega, the Peruvian missionary who has agreed to stay permanently and lead them. The church has been praying for a smooth transition, as they know we are church planting missionaries, would not be staying permanently, but would leave once they had a permanent leader and became independent.
Gracias por sus oraciones, por nuestra iglesia, por nuestras oraciones, por nuestro pastor, yo y su familia, y que sigan orando por nosotros, por el crecimiento de nuestra iglesia. Gracias.
El pastor John enseñándonos más de la palabra de Dios. Que Dios nos bendiga, hermano. Un abrazo.
Estamos contentos con el trabajo del pastor John aquí en Perú. Y agradecidos también a Dios y a ustedes también por la oportunidad de poder apoyarles. Muchísimas gracias, que Dios les bendiga.
Gracias por el apoyo de nuestro pastor John, gracias por su apoyo con su familia y por mandar de mi familia acá a nuestra iglesia, de mucho ayuda, un privilegio poder tener acá. Esperando que ustedes sigan apoyándole y gracias por toda su atención. Gracias en verdad de todo corazón y cuídense a Dios.
Thank you for partnering with us in sharing the gospel in Peru. We have visited and are burdened for the region of Pasco, which is in the high altitude jungle area, where the gospel is needed along with a strong Bible believing church for them to grow spiritually. But who will go? Who will plant the seed? Jesus has told us to go. What is he calling you to do? Please pray for us as we seek to return to Peru for our third term and to plant churches for God's glory.
Well, that just gives you a little bit of an insight with pictures of just all the things that God has been doing in Peru. We've been able to see God to be able to establish three churches and to be able to see them now being with pastor and independent and allowing us to be able to go and start other churches. So just as a review here, is just as we were coming back, we were able to turn over all the responsibilities to the Peruvian there to oversee this church. And we've put all of our stuff in a storage area with a friend there. And when we go back, we're going into a whole new area, and we're blitzing the area and starting another church. We ask that you would pray for us. Please take a prayer card. Just keep us in your prayers. Because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And there is power in prayer. And God delights to be able to see his children pray and to be able to trust in him, to be able to see a good work. And we want to see God continue to do a work in Peru. Now, we have time just for a couple of questions. Anybody that has a question, maybe this a video. Yes, sir.
As you go into different regions of Peru,
yes.
Are there different languages altogether or just different dialects?
Yeah, it's a very good question because I was mentioning how it's desert, mountains, and jungle, and each of those regions are so different from each other. Now, Peru has two official languages, Spanish and Quechua. Quechua is more into the mountains. It's kind of dying down because they're not teaching it in schools anymore, but it's more of their Inca heritage. And they also have Aymara in the mountains as well. In the Amazon, there's over 100 indigenous tribal languages up and down the river. And so we have been establishing the churches in the Spanish language. That's the one we've been working on and preaching and teaching, discipling in. And when we go to the Amazon, when we go to other villages that might be speaking something else, we would have a translator to be able to help us with that. And again, I've had the opportunity to be able to go up and down the Amazon River all the way to Brazil in Colombia, and being in villages and having the opportunity to be able to preach, teach in these villages, and what a blessing it is. But also, it just gives me a greater burden for the many needs, many areas that still need a church and a gospel witness in those areas. But yes, it's really interesting because the desert is the cities, and that's where the capital city of Peru is, Lima. And so all international flights will go into the capital city, and from there you can be able to catch another plane to another area or take a public transportation bus into another area. But when you land in Lima, you'll see so many modern things there. You'll see all of the cars and the people dressed with regular clothes and a lot of the businesses and things right there in the coast. But as soon as you go an hour inland, further east, you run into the Andes Mountains. And that's where you see a lot of Peruvians that you would probably typically think of a Peruvian. You'll see the llamas, the alpacas grazing up in the mountains. You'll see the mud brick homes. You'll see them working a lot in the farming there. You'll see their attire completely different, and just how they live. And then if you go further east off of the mountains and into the Amazon and the indigenous Indians, the further you go in, the more remote areas you can imagine that they just live off of the ground and live what they have there in the jungle. And so outside of the Amazon, closer to the mountains, you'll see more of the exchanging and markets and different things, and even tourists coming in to be able to see some of that. But the further you go into the villages, you'll have a better idea of that. And, of course, just language differences, culture, traditions, the customs, completely different in all three of those regions. That's a good observation in Peru. Anybody else with a question? Yes, sir. You know what? It's not a problem until it's a problem. I say it for this reason. It's because we went into our first one. I sent 10 missionaries to start it, and the Catholic Church just looked at us, just a bunch of guys are just knocking on doors and evangelizing and things. But when that church started to grow, and it started the Christian school, and it started getting 100, 200, getting more and more people, now it's an issue. Now it's a problem. Now they're like, we don't want them here because it's making a big impact in the area. Another example of that is we invited our neighbors to the church with us, and they allowed their kids to go to the church, and the kids came back and they said, "We learned about the Bible," and the parents were like, "Great, that's exciting. You need to learn about the Bible, and you need to learn about who God is and things." And they came back another time and says, "We got saved. We asked Jesus to save us from our sins. Yes, you need to have a relationship with God and things. That's great and everything." They came back another time and said, "We want to get baptized. We want to obey God." Now it's a problem. So get out of that cult. Get out of that. Don't do that because it's against their custom, their tradition, their teaching, things that they grew up believing, and now it's an issue. So it's not a problem until it's a problem, once it's a problem. But it's really interesting, as the parents came and talked to us, and they went to church, they got saved, and they wanted to be baptized, and they received pressure from their family members. And the pressure that they received was just overwhelming, the opposition that they would get. But it was interesting that those that stay in the church and that continue, you know it's genuine. You know it's real. You know it's, it means something to them. It's not something that they're just playing the game. This is something they fully believe in, and they're following God. And that's exciting to be able to see. When lives are changed. And that's what it's all about, the people that you're trying to reach with the truth. And let the truth work. Let the Holy Spirit do the work and see how God can be able to change lives. And what a blessing that is. One other question, something about Peru. I came back with like 30,000 pictures, wanted to share so much with you in such a short amount of time. And we'd love to be able to answer any questions you might have. We love Peru. We think it's such a blessing to be able to serve God there as a family. And we can't wait to be able to go back and to be able to see what God is going to do in sharing the truth, the good news with them there, and to be able to see more churches established. And I hope, again, that you guys would connect with us and that we're working together as a team, co-laboring. We couldn't do it without churches. We couldn't do it. The Bible says that it's the church that sent them out. Now, God calls them. The Holy Spirit said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. God calls us, but the church is what sends us out and gives us opportunity to be able to continue this work. And what a blessing it is that Calvary's been a part of our ministry in establishing churches there. And we thank you so much for that. I do have another question in the back, though. Yes, sir. That's a dangerous question to ask a missionary. That's when we start pulling out the list. Here's a list of things. You know what? There are so many things that we do pray, ask for prayer for, that just continue faith in God. Whatever comes our way, we ask for God's protection. It's amazing. You were able to see a couple of the roads that are traveled there. A lot of times, almost every month, we'll pick up a magazine, a newspaper, and we'll see a car that's gone off the side of a bus that's gone off the side of a mountain with people that have been killed. I've got a magazine article in my bag in the back, and it shows that the road I was traveling on that day had four mudslides, and the river wiped out the road, and so we asked for God's protection. There's so many dangers, not only the road, the animals, the terrorist group, the drug cartel. There's so many different dangers, but for God's protection, for God's provision. We have put all of our stuff in storage. When we go back, we're going back, and my wife had mentioned to me, and she's like, do we realize that when we go back, we don't have a house, a car, and we're going back and starting all over again? And that's difficult, but it's trusting a great God. And so we've been praying that God would allow us to be able to go back and to be able to purchase a vehicle, to be able to transport our things and go into the jungle, high jungle area to be able to establish this next church. And that takes a vehicle that would be able to maintain those roads and rivers and get it on. So we're praying for God's provision for a vehicle. And so it's trusting a God. And it's your prayers, and that you would just again understand that we just want God to receive the glory for all the things He has done. I will mention this, and some of you might have heard. I would rather be in the center of God's will, no matter where we're at. It could be in the most dangerous place in this world. I'd rather be in the center of His will, giving my life to Him, than being in the safest place with all the riches of this world and be out of God's will. I would rather be serving God. I'd rather have a peace that I'm doing what God wants for me in my life. Some of you might have heard that there was a missionary that spent 2 years on deputation, the last 2 years on deputation. He raised his support and he went to Cameroon. There, he's been in Cameroon for 2 weeks. He was driving into the market. They're having like a civil war in Cameroon. It's not safe at all. And he was shot just yesterday, and he was killed. And he's got a wife and 8 kids that are there in Cameroon, and they're trying everything they can to be able to protect them still and to be able to guard them. And some people would be like, well, see, here's a missionary that went over there and was killed. I would much rather spend 2 weeks in the center of God's will and doing exactly what God has than live a lifetime here out of God's will. And I will tell you what, God is using his testimony. So many people are praying more now for Cameroon and for the situations than ever before. See, we need to trust God. He's in control. And it's his will that we're doing. And so when a person gives of his life, when he gives of himself, he says, God, there's no holding back. You do with it whatever you want. And however you want us to be used. If it's through being a martyr or if it's through whatever, God, we want you to be glorified in everything that's done. And so that's some of the areas. As missionaries, we have needs. Sure, we have different needs, but we trust a great God. And I'm so thankful. When I look in the Bible and we see that Paul says that he writes to local churches that says, you know what, you heard about a need, and it was through your prayers and it's through your provisions that God worked a great work. And so what a blessing it is when you look at Philippians, when you look at these passages where Paul says, you know what, this church took care of this, did these things, and helped out. That's biblical. And so we see that. You know, if there is other questions, we'd love to be able to answer those. You can come by our table. You can be able to even ask my daughters. They've got the answers. They've heard their dad answer a lot of questions and things. So they can be able to help out as well. So it could be either one of us to ask us a question about anything there. And we've had so many adventures, so many exciting things. And we've just been able to see God work in such a tremendous way. And it's just been exciting. It's a joy in serving Jesus. It really is. Would you go with me to Luke chapter 10? Luke chapter 10. Today, as we look at the God's Word, immediately you would probably look at, think of Luke chapter 10 as one of the gospel books. And so it explains the life of Christ when he was here on this earth. I really like this time of the year. It's my wife's favorite season, the fall. It's in October that I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior when I was 10 years old. And I grew up on a farm, and this time of the year, whew, it was exciting. We would have harvest time, and we would have all kinds of harvest festivals and different activities and different things. It was just an exciting time of the year. And you know what? It's interesting because in Luke chapter 10, it talks about the harvest, and it talks about the heart of our Lord. And he was trying to be able to win souls. He was trying to teach the truth and share it through parables. Now, some of you, some of us really like the parables. I remember as a kid, we would always act them out. We would always have fun through the dressing up and acting out some of these parables. The kids probably would enjoy that as well. And yet, sometimes we get so much involved into it and fail to see the true meaning of what he's trying to get across to us through the parable. Would you go with me to Luke chapter 10 and refresh one of the parables here that Jesus was teaching? It happened when in verse 25, a certain lawyer came to him and wanted to tempt him and says, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? What do I have to do to get saved? And Jesus simply says, well, what have you heard from the scriptures? What is it that you've been taught? And he says, well, love God and love my neighbor. But who is even my neighbor, is he saying? You remember the parable? The parable of of the Good Samaritan, the story of the Good Samaritan. Let's refresh what the meaning of that was. Would you go with me to verse 30? Jesus answering this, the lawyer, said, a certain man
went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. If we told a story like this to the Peruvians, they'd be like, oh, we know exactly what would happen here. A third world country, there's a lot of poverty, a lot of crime, and they'll see and witness a lot of these things that take place. You tell a parable like this, if someone came by, the thieves took everything he had, beat him up, left him on the road half dead. The Peruvians would be like, yep, been there. Have you been there? Yeah, we've been there before. They understand what what has happened here. Remember the parable? Three people come by to be able to see this man in need. The first one is told to us there in verse 31. By chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Really? The first guy came, he saw the person with need, saw the person couldn't take care of himself, saw he was bloody, dirty, he saw that he had a need, and passed by on the other side, went by, did nothing. You remember the second person that came by that day, verse 32. Likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by the other side. Interesting. Another one comes, sees someone with a need, sees that he can't take care of himself, and did nothing about it. Passed by on the other side. You know, I had to pause and stop and think about these examples. Do you realize that the first two people that Jesus used in the example that passed by and did nothing were religious people? Isn't that amazing? I mean, you would think, I'm sure, if anybody has a heart for lost souls, if anybody has a heart and to be able to help others, surely it's a Christian. And I'm sure, Pastor, it's going to be a Baptist member. I'm sure it's going to be someone that says that they have the love of God and they want to be an example and show others God's love as well. I'm sure it would be that, right? But yet our first two examples we see here is a priest, one who is in the ministry, one who is a missionary, a pastor, evangelist, someone that is a Sunday school teacher, somebody that's a church member, somebody that's involved. The second one, a Levite, the tribe that was responsible for the temple, of taking care of God's house. Surely those are the people that are going to show forth the love of God. But yet they did nothing. They passed by. Oh, if we could be able to share with you in such a short amount of time the need that's in this world, that there are people hurting, that there are people spiritually blind, there are people that cannot see their destiny, they cannot understand that they will be punished, and that there is a real hell. The wages of sin is death. The Bible tells us this, that we would see the need, but that we would just pass by? We wouldn't do anything about it? We wouldn't pray? We wouldn't give to missions? We wouldn't be a witness ourselves? We would just pass by those that have needs? But yet here he gives the third example, remember. It says there in verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, oh, well, we don't have to go any further because the Samaritan is a mixed race. Samaritan is unbelievers. Samaritans, those are the ones that surely he's not going to do anything at all. Remember the parable. Remember the story? Because what does it say in verse 33? A certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, he came where this guy was, where he was. When he saw him, he had, what does it say, church? He had compassion on him. How did he show compassion? It goes on in the following verses. What did he do to show compassion on him? He went to him. He bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, set him on his own beast, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out his money, 2 pence, and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of this man. Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more when I come again, I will repay thee. Wow, what a story here that he's telling us. Here is an individual that saw the need, heard the need, realized the need, went over and showed compassion, showed love, showed mercy on him, helped him, and took of his time. Well, wait a second. I'm sure it was Saturday's soul winning time. Better move on. Because sometimes we get so much wrapped up into, let's do it on soul winning time, but what about our time? Rather than God wants to use you when there's a need for it.
Yet here's someone that used his own transportation, his own beast, to be able to transport him. Wait a second. Use my car? Use my vehicle to transport bus kids to church? To be able to transport people and help people with needs? No, 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 no. This is mine. They might get it dirty. They might ruin it. What happened to everything we have is God's? And God, show me what we can do that you would be glorified. And yet, here's a man that did not think about his himself. He thought about others. Put him on his beast. Took him to a place to be able to receive help, medical help. And took of his money. Well, don't go there. Well, I'm sure this guy must have known him. It must have been his mom, his dad, his brother, his sister. Somehow, because he's giving money to this guy now to help with his needs, his medical bills or other things. He's giving of his money. Why is it that you would give to missions at the church to be able to reach Peruvians that you don't even know? Is it because you know that the Bible says that the Great Commission, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel? It's a way for you to be able to preach the gospel in Peru and in all these other places that you're supporting missionaries. That you would give out of a cheerful heart because you know you're helping others. And here is someone who gave of his money, gave of his time to be able to show compassion on others. When's the last time God used you to help someone in need? No, I'm not saying, well, let's leave here and let's go out on the street and look for someone that's laying there bloody, dirty. He's asking us to be real, to not live for possessional things, material things, not to live to gain for ourselves. What is it if you should gain the whole world, win the lottery of the $1 billion or having all these things and yet lose your own soul? It's better to live for eternity. And look up for what God would have for you in your life. Someone out here today that probably can relate to that person that was there on the side of the road. I have needs, whether it's physically or spiritually. But you know what? You're in a good place because God has an answer. He has given and given and given over and over for us. His love. His salvation. He died on the cross for you. And he wants to show his love and compassion for you. That's I believe, what he wants to get across to us. So don't live for the things of this world, but show compassion and help others that we would do God's will. But you know what? That's really an illustration to be able to lead to what I want to share with you today. It's at the beginning of this chapter. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 1, would you look at it with me? In Luke chapter 10 verse 1, it says, after these things. After what things? Now, Jesus is so far along in his ministry. He's showing compassion. He's showing love. He's doing miracles. He's healing people from their blindness, their leprosy. He's providing food for them. He is helping them to be able to see truth. And he's trying to be able to teach them and show them. After these things, he now has many people that have heard about him. The fame of Christ is out there, and they want to know who Jesus is. He doesn't have just his 12 disciples that are around him and follow him. He has multitudes at times. Multitudes of people that are waking up and saying, I want to go see Jesus. John chapter 6, they go and they leave their jobs, their family, they go to see Jesus. They want to see another miracle. They want to hear another teaching. They want to know who he is. And in this passage it says, after this fame, after these things have taken place, there's 70 other that are with him at this time. Look at the rest of verse 1. It says, after these things the Lord appointed other 70 also, sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So here he has a multitude of people that are following. He said, this is what I want to do. I want to divide you all up into groups of two. I want to send you out to all these villages before us that we haven't been to yet. And I want you to go out. I want you to tell them what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've witnessed. I want you to go tell them about it. And I'm going to come to them. I want you to go and be able to show these things to them. But before you go, I've got something I want to tell you. Verse 2. Look at it with me there in Luke chapter 10, verse 2. It says, therefore said he unto them, the 70 that he's sending out, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Now here he is. He said, I'm going to send you out. You're going to face dangerous things. You're going to face all kinds of circumstances. You're going to go into places that and be able to teach them. But listen, before you go, I want to motivate you. I want to encourage you along your path. And here are some things, Christians, that should encourage us for missions. When you go out, the harvest is great. The harvest is great. The harvest. What is the harvest? What is it that he's talking about? The harvest. Now, I grew up on the farm. Hopefully, you can be able maybe to relate to a farming with me. Growing up on the farm, I saw my dad working so many times out in the field. He would use the plow to plow up the dirt. He would disc it to be able to break up the dirt. He would plant the seed. He would water. He would weed. He'd have his six kids hoeing. He would have hook up the big machine that spread the manure to be able to fertilize it. We'd run over my sister with the manure spreader. That was funny. She lived. It's okay. In fact, she was just at one of the last churches we were at. She came to visit us and things. But, you know, all kinds of exciting adventures. All this work, though, for what? For what? I had asked my dad. I was like, okay, we're out here. We're doing all this work. You're having us pulling out weeds, and you have us watering. You have us doing all these things. For what? What are we getting for this? And he said, well, because the harvest is coming. The harvest? What is the harvest? As a little kid, I was like, what is it? He's just like, you got to be patient, wait. And you would see it every month. The corn would grow and the different other crops would grow. And it would get to a point where it's ready to be harvested, to be picked there. And that's the harvest that's there. It's exciting when a farmer, when it's harvest time. All his work, all his sweat, all of his labor, and now it's time to be able to receive from that, the harvest. You know, if you were able to come to Peru up in the mountains, they have, because of the climate, because of altitude of the mountains, they can be able to start one crop after another. They can literally get three harvests a year. In Michigan, we could only get one with the snow and with the winter time and things. They could get three. They would plant so many different of their crops. Potatoes is one of the main crops out there that they would have in Peru. I remember my wife sent me to the market and she said, can you get a bag of potatoes? I was like, sure, okay. Went to the market, says, can I have a bag of potatoes, please? And they were just like, you got to be a little bit more specific than that. I was like, what do you mean? They said, you do realize we have over 3,000 types of potatoes here, right? I'm like, what? And they're just like, well, yeah, in the market here, we have over 3,000 types of potatoes. You'll have to Google it sometime. 3,700 something, whatever, types of potatoes. Sir, why don't you tell us what color you want? You want green, blue, purple, but gray, red? I mean, they're mentioning all these colors. I'm like, what? It's like, whoa. I had to call my wife and say, what kind of potatoes do we get? She was just like, white ones. I said, I'll take white ones. He was like, okay, we probably got like 100 of them here. I was like, oh, you're kidding me. He's like, I could see the stress. I said, what are you going to use these potatoes for? Are you going to fry them? Are you going to mash them? You go, oh, what are you going to use? I like mashed potatoes. He's like, okay, sir, we recommend this potato for you. I was like, all right, give me a bag of those. They were like, a bag? I was like, oh, they don't have bags here. They're roughly $4 or $5 in the States. Give me $5 worth of potatoes. Sure, no problem. Big old bag of potatoes for $5 that they put in there. I'm carrying it home to my wife. Here you go, bag of potatoes. She said, what are we going to do with all those? Invite the neighborhood. I don't know. But, you know, you should see the Peruvians when it's harvest time for the potatoes. They get their families. They get everybody out there. They get to bring up all the potatoes. They put them in all these great big burlap sacks. They put it on the cattle trucks. They take it to the market, and they sell those potatoes. They are so excited because harvest time means that they're getting paid. It's payday. It's time to be able to all that work, all that labor, and now we get to be able to see the joy of what it is. You know, it's interesting that Jesus here says, the harvest is ready. You don't have to plant. You don't need to water. You don't need to seed. You don't need to do any of that work. I've already done it, and right there it is. The people in these villages are ready to hear the good news. They're ready. The harvest is great. Folks, I don't have time to be able to share with you, out of the billions and billions of people in this world that are in need of hearing the good news. I had a chance to be able in Washington, D.C. A church took us to the Museum of the Bible, a new museum right in Washington, D.C. While we were in there, my daughter says, "Dad, you got to come see this section of it." I was like, okay. I went to the center section. As I was there, she said, "Dad, look on all these shelves right here in this area." I was like, "Wow." She says, "Dad, that's a Bible in every different language." I was like, "Really? Over 600 Bibles, 676 different languages." She said, Dad, that's not what I wanted to show you, though." She said, "It's right over here on this side." She said, "Right here, look at all these shelves." And it was full of yellow boxes. And she said, "Dad, that's every language without a Bible." See, we sit here in America and we think that it's like this everywhere in the world. That we have a Bible, we have a church, we have a pastor that studies and preaches. We have Christian fellowship that we can pray together one with another. And we think surely with the internet, with everything we have now, they can just turn on the TV and they can listen to it. They can turn on the radio. They can look it up. Folks, it's not that way. There's a lot of languages that still do not even have a Bible and have yet to hear that Jesus saves. Puts it in perspective, doesn't it? The harvest, the people are ready and want to hear the truth. How are they going to hear if a missionary doesn't go? If someone doesn't go and tell them the good news? It says the harvest truly is great, but look at the second part there. The laborers are few. The laborers are few. Now, there was 70 here he was talking, so he's sending out these 70. I can't imagine, though. What happens if there was 100, 150, 200, 300, 400 people that were ready to go? How many more villages could be reached? And that's why you see the prayer request of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, in this verse. Would you pray that more would go? Would you pray that more would be called? Parents, would you allow your children to grow up to be missionaries and go? Do you teach it? Do you encourage it? Do you pray for it? Is it urgency? Look at the verse it says there. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. I was preaching in Canada just a little while ago. And as I was preaching after the service, a deacon came up and he says, "Do you know that in the sound booth is a farmer?" I was like, "Oh, is that right?" He's just like, "Yeah, he has the biggest farm in all of North America." Very humble guy. I was like, "Really?" I went up and I asked him. I said, "Sir, do you have a big farm?" He's like, "Well, yeah, no." I says, "It's getting time for harvest." He's like, "Oh, yeah, oof." Miles and miles and miles of land and that needed to be harvested. I said, "Sir, what would happen out of all those all that crop that you have if there was nobody to go and run the machines and to be able to harvest it?" And he said, "It would die. It would just be wasted." I almost broke out in tears. Folks, did you catch it? There's a harvest out there of people. And Jesus is saying, would you pray that more would go? Because if they don't go, the harvest will be wasted. They will die. Oh, that we would get a burden once again for missions. Now, I started this evening with the parable of showing compassion for others. Would you now go and look at that passage at the end and see Jesus' response to this lawyer? Would you look at it as we close? It says there in verse 36, "Which now of these three that I told you about thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves?" And the rich man said in verse 37, "Well, he that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." Go and show compassion. Show there's a Christ. Show the love of God in your life. Be genuine. Be real. Let God use you to be able to see the harvest brought in bringing in the sheaves, that we would see God work. I believe that God is still calling missionaries. I believe that God is still providing and meeting needs. I believe that He's still saving souls. And He wants to use us. Would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, thank You so much for preserving Your word for us, that we can be once again reminded while we're here. Lord, it's not just to get into a routine and to go through the motions of living our life here and obtaining a better life here. Lord, please give us eyes for the future, for eternity. Give us an attitude of, like Paul, Lord, what would You have me to do that Your will would be done? That Isaiah, when he saw the future and what it meant, when he got a glimpse of what salvation was, who You were, that he would cry out, "Here am I, send me." Lord, I pray that You would once again reveal to us what the meaning of life is all about, that we would give You the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.